Welcome to The Unraveler, a weekly commentary devoted to explaining the Torah, Haftarah, and other aspects of Jewish history, ideas, and thought. This podcast is made by the FJMC, the Federation of Jewish Men's Clubs. The material of these Unraveler podcasts provide a historical and somewhat different approach to help you, the listener, better understand Jewish life and thought. This week's Haftarah commentary is read by Michael Freilich of the Seaboard region of the FJMC, whose Judaic knowledge has been shared with men throughout North America. We hope you enjoy it and find it intellectually challenging. The opinions expressed in The Unraveler are those of the author and do not necessarily represent the opinions or policy of the FJMC.
Shalom, all you all. Today's Haftarah is for Shabbat Chanukah, and the commentary for today was written and promulgated in 2012 by Rabbi David Wise, who was and is the spiritual leader of Hollis Hills Jewish Center in Queens, New York. He writes, "With help from Debbie Friedman Zal, one verse of the Haftarah we read this Shabbat Chanukah stands out to be the most familiar. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord of hosts." Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. While the association of the theme of the Haftarah, a prophetic vision of the menorah, makes for natural connection with Chanukah, the rabbis make a calculated decision in selecting this passage for this special Shabbat. As Professor Michael Fishbane wrote in the JPS Haftarah commentary at page 225, quote, "By giving Zechariah's prophecy the proclamatory ending, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, the rabbis transformed the text into a divine warning. Groups wishing to, quote, force the end, end quote, through military might or support, projects promising restoration of the temple, are given the divine notice of the futility of their plans. Such a decision about biblical readings is consistent with the rabbinic view of the meaning of Chanukah in virtually all realms. As children, we learn the two interrelated miracles of Chanukah were the military victory of the Maccabees as one, the surprising extended use of a limited supply of oil as the second. The rabbis sharply downgrade the role of the Maccabees in this relatively brief discussion of Chanukah in the Babylonian Talmud. This brief attention also downgrading the significance of Chanukah entirely. The story we learn puts the military and spiritual miracles on virtually equally footing. As we saw from Rabbi Fishbane, the message of the rabbi's choice of this Haftarah is not only the flexing of military muscle of diminishing importance, it's downright futile. Yes, it's true. We say Al HaNisim for these miracles on Chanukah, a passage that celebrates the victory of our few over their many, our righteous over their wicked, and so forth. But in the prayer, the addressee is God, for God is the sole source of victory. As we consider the rabbi's Chanukah agenda, consider the other times of the year that we say, Al HaNisim Purim, for the miracles at Purim, and Yom HaAtzma'ut, Israel Independence Day. In both Chanukah and in 1948, military success is a crucial component of the story. The Maccabees and the nascent IDF, Israel Defense Force, though vastly outnumbered by their enemies, exercise their power to achieve victory. As people of faith, we attribute our success to God, but we had to take up arms in order to benefit from God's guidance. What about Purim? What power did we exercise in that story? The Shalom Hartman Institute's Engaging Israel curriculum explores this very question. As the Megillah's narrative unfolds, pun intended, Haman manipulates the king into condemning the Jews, who are in no position whatsoever to defend themselves. Yes, we have a woman on the inside, but she's just one in the king's stable of wives. Mordechai implores Esther to bring her plight to the king's attention, but she hasn't even identified publicly as part of this people. She and we are at the mercy of the king's interest when she enters the royal chamber uninvited. if he were not happy to see her, that would be the end of her, her end of our chance to infiltrate the seat of power, the end of us. And then again, if the king had been able to sleep that night, he would not have called for the royal archives to be read, and wouldn't have learned that Mordechai played a leading role in saving him from assassination. It took a great deal of luck for the story to take a redemptive turn. In the absence of that luck, we are exterminated. As Rabbi Donald Hartman says, in reflecting on the Purim story, there is no mobility in powerlessness. The rabbis, by choosing this Haftorah for Shabbat Chanukah, were trying to strike an active expression of Jewish power, at least military power. Zechariah's prophecy is a beautiful text, but how does it sit with you? I, for one, need both elements of the miraculous God's role, ours, in concert to make meaning of Hanukkah powerlessness isn't an option, but neither is an abundance of the sense of the spiritual.
We hope that you've enjoyed this podcast. The FJMC mission is to involve Jewish men in Jewish life. You can find more information about the organization at the FJMC's website at www.fjmc.org. Music for this podcast is Climb, written by Shane Ivers, and is available at www.silvermansound.com.